Good evening, I'm Simon Brown, and you're watching Stockwatch. Taking your questions in studio tonight, David Shapiro from Susfin Securities, Wayne McCurry from F&B Wealth and Investments. Don't forget, send your questions through to us, SMS 41392, email stockwatch@bdtv.co.za, or tweet us at BusinessDayTV using the hashtag Stockwatch. Gents, thanks for joining us. Happy New Year.
Yes, thank
First
you.
Time you're back on. A boring day in the market. 13 billion volume. Top 40 up a bit. Indy up nicely. Finney up nicely. Resi down. The story, though, is no Brexit.
Yes, but look, no one was expecting it to pass.
Sure. Yeah, I thought it would be close, not, though. But
it'll be, I think everyone thought it would be a bit closer. So it was a complete and utter destruction. But it was as the market expected. And it's now, of course, the next step.
Which is?
Probably another vote, to be honest.
Another referendum?
Another referendum.
Another referendum, yeah. Mm.
Go back to the populace.
Yeah, which is a dangerous thing to do.
Well, as they learned 2.5 years ago.
As they learned.
And with the election that they had. I mean, yeah. David, the market, as Wayne says, the market was down at 1.5%, but actually...
The market was optimistic about the outcome. The way that the market's interpreting it is that, yes, they'll remain in, or alternatively, it'll be a soft Brexit. So not a hard Brexit, which is what the Brexiteers wanted.
No one's going to go for it. Yeah, I don't think even the Brexiteers want to go for a true hard Brexit with no deal, because that is just chaos.
Mm. Yes, yes.
I mean, you'll run out of Brussels sprouts and mushy peas.
It's really hard to interpret what it is. I think markets generally, globally, have just moved beyond it.
Ignoring it.
There's no confidence vote this evening, although I think
she'll
win.
That way. Yeah.
Because the politicians don't want another election.
No one wants
I don't think the Conservatives want to lose an election, because if they vote against her, of course Corbyn will come in.
Who's going to win it? No one's going to win it.
No, I'm not even sure Corbyn will win it.
Yeah, and I'm not sure he wants it.
You think he
either.
Wants the problem?
No. Yeah, that is a proper poison chalice, that one.
Yeah, okay, so it's muddling along, and the UK will sort it out one way or another. In the meantime, we'll take some questions. Actually, a stock that's in worse state than Brexit. Avenge, any hope? I mean, the answer is no.
You know, 20 years ago, this was a powerful company with an incredibly strong balance sheet. I mean, at one stage, David's memory might be better than mine, but at one stage, 40% of their market cap was represented
by cash.
On the balance sheet.
And now they have no balance sheet.
The history is it came out of the AVI stable, which was one of the most powerful industrial companies. And had, it was...
Mining and everything.
It was a very, very strong business, as were all our construction companies. The problem is that there's no CapEx.
There is
no FDI. There's no infrastructural development, no money spent. So any construction company is under pressure.
Even those that went elsewhere haven't fared much better.
Well, look, for those who went elsewhere, probably are worse off, to be honest. There weren't
except
too many
Orson Bailey's.
Except there weren't too many successes overseas on bridge projects in Africa. There had been quite a few disasters in that. But a large part of their problems of their own doing. Everyone geared up so massively from 2004 to 2008. They thought the good times would last
forever,
and they didn't.
Yeah, and that was
and people forget. Construction shares were the nice pass of their day.
I remember watching Marion Roberts from early 2000s, about R4, peaked at over 100, 25, and that was only in about a 5-6-7 year period. And then collapse, and are going to be taken by
all those listings, Esau,
hundreds,
all of those
CK,
companies came
RBA,
on.
All the quarry companies, and
and they're all gone. That was our
well, they lived them, and they made hay while the sun was shining.
But I think some of them wish they'd never met Noah Greenhill. An invitation onto the old text. I mean, Bernie Cronin, his little Esau, which was a perfectly viable business, goes and just no more. I mean, just no more. So on to perhaps less depressing. Diversified miners. We're getting questions coming through around Anglo, around BHP Billiton, who paid a special dividend.
Yes.
It's ex-div, but the div only comes the 30th, so at the end of the month.
But the share's ex-div.
The share's now ex-div, so you're not going to get that dividend if you've got it. And then, of course, Glencore. And they all got their nuances and their differences. Glencore very much trading, a lot of platinum and diamond and Anglo-American, iron ore in both them and Billiton. Preference, either or, neither?
Look, by and large, they're driven by the same factors. And those factors don't look all that bad, to be honest. I mean, the global growth is slowing down, but it's unlikely to be a collapse. I mean, China's just announced massive packages to try and keep the economy on an even keel. And the valuations aren't horrendous. And prices haven't spiked like they did in 2006, 2007. There's been very little capital investment, and the guys are still gun-shy.
Those balance sheets.
So you'll get cash, you'll get divvies.
I mean, those balance sheets must be perhaps as strong as they've ever been.
Yes.
I think don't set your sights high. If you're going to, the companies are being well run at the moment, I think.
Yeah, look, they're riskier.
You know, they're, but one of the problems with this, with the Chinese stimulus plan, this time it's fiscal stimulus. In other words, they're reducing taxes, and rather than building bridges and roads and infrastructure development. But the one thing that gives me encouragement, and I've been watching the iron ore price now for 2-3 years, and analysts, without fail, even the Australian government, always starts to forecast that there's an oversupply, the demand's going to fall, iron ore is going to go down to 40, and it just steadfastly holds at the 75 level, at which 95% of iron ore producers can make big money.
I think more than 95, yeah, 100%.
All of them.
Except the Chinese guys.
I remember when iron ore was a $20 a ton commodity and prices were set quarterly.
I remember it was $8 a ton. And also, just talking on that, remember Mr. Shapiro's been working now for 50 years.
So
he knows the most out of all of us.
So what's the 50th anniversary? Gold, platinum, diamond.
I've been working. I've been on the stock exchange 47 years, but 3 years I had to do articles.
50 years.
I started, 1st of January, 69. Suit and tie.
So it's almost my 50th.
Still got a suit and tie.
Got a suit and tie. Wayne lost his tie a long time ago. A question coming on Clover, which is moot because there's a delisting probably happening on Clover. That's why you got the spike in the share price. I think we're going to see a lot more. There's already a lot on the table for delisting.
There's a couple of engineering companies and a couple of stalwarts.
Howden.
That's been around forever. I mean, Verimark's delisting as well.
Yeah.
Always an interesting company to look at. But Clover tried to get out to the cyclicality of the milk business, and they formed that cooperative.
Yeah.
But that just totally and utterly imploded and bit them.
Yeah. I like the idea of Clover. Their trucks going every day, distribution network, much like SAB, add a few products, never seem to work.
No.
And that
these heavy agricultural-oriented companies
are. You know, we're hearing also Anglo Gold, companies like that also, not on the block, but being looked at in terms of M&A. So it's not only the smaller companies where you could find corporate action.
Anglo Gold is a small company now.
Ouch.
Compared to, when Anglo's unbundled Anglo Gold, I thought, what are they doing? This was their basis. This was their...
This was who they were.
And they made exactly the right decision. Yeah. They made... 100% the right decision.
That's actually a good point. Well, and the De Beers transaction wasn't the worst ever. Been some good capital.
Well, when I joined in 72, there were 40 gold mines. I mean, it was...
Each one was
And the gold analyst was the blue ribbon analyst. The highest paid analysts were the gold analysts, and the highest paid dealers were those who dealt in miners, mining companies.
Look, I can't go back as far as Shapiro, but... When I cut my teeth in the market, the gold index was 40% of the market cap.
Yeah. And you drive through...
I think they saw it. You know, I think Anglo saw the writing on the wall.
The assets were being depleted. The ore body was being depleted.
Yeah. And you drive through the Free States and you see all the signposts of the old mines, Beatrix and Knights and all of those...
Big companies in their days.
In their days, the Rio McCoy and...
Driefontein and Kloof were...
They were listed in areas.
Unbelievable.
It wasn't just gold. You know, you had Westwitz, Coltonville... Clarksdorp, all of those areas were listed separately.
Yeah, so but 130 years later, nothing there unless you're going to go down 4Ks and no one enjoys that. What about ShopRite?
Oh, it looks good value. In fact, that's my stock pick one. Okay, I picked it before.
I think it's one area of the market that in difficult circumstances is going to do well. I think if you're going to buy retailers, I think stick with the
And so picking
retailers.
Up of inflation. So what we've seen is that they've had no inflation, 11,000 products. We're certainly seeing the maize and wheat prices pick up. That filtered through to food. That's going to filter through to the tills, help get their margins
That's
back.
An interesting chart because without trying to take Charters, you know, I'm not a technical analyst, but I think what we're seeing
you
is
you can tell the truth.
You're trying to be Clive Roffey here.
I did. Point and figure charts, you know, in those days we used to do them with
a clutch pencil
with noughts and crosses, you know, and
clutch pencil and graph
and you
paper.
Couldn't go back and just redo the chart. You just had to do it every day. But there's a bottom forming there, and I think most of the JSE, the most attractive part, is that you're starting to see this bottom form. It might not go higher, but it doesn't look like it's going to go lower. And the longer the base, the more it tends to go up. So I think from that point of view, the JSE overall is fairly attractive, or the downside's limited. And I think ShopRite's showing that.
But remember Paul Rigdon with his charts. He used to have a chart and then keep it for 2 or 3 years, but then it would go off the bottom or off the top, and then you'll stick another chart on that point on a sticky tape so you can carry on.
I had to do that because I used graph paper, and then the stock runs and you run out of space.
You could stick another one on top there, yeah?
And then one day you realize you've made a mistake with your moving average, and
I'm still faithful to point and figure. I still think it's a better reading of the market than...
Life's too short. Life is just too... I've been down the point and figure one. Life was... What about the papers? We've had a couple of questions around them. Sappi's been under significant pressure recently. Mm-hmm. Is this opportunity or a stock we best stay away from?
Sure.
They've moved away from just glossy. Yeah. They got the, what's that?
No, they've got lots of stuff, and the cellulose is doing extremely well, and they've expanded, and it's doing well. And in fact, so many paper mills have shut down because of such a terrible market. There's actually a shortage of paper in the declining market because so many have shut down.
Yeah, yeah.
So Sappi's actually making a bit of cash there, but it's highly cyclical. Yeah. Look, to be honest, I think it probably is an opportunity. And the cellulose side is good, eh? And that thing's used. There's 20 things in the studio that uses chemical cellulose in it.
Yes,
very widely used commodity. Maybe this is opportunity.
It's a function of the global economy as well. And they're quite exposed to Europe and to North America. So I think it depends on the market. Funny enough, I watch a company there called International Paper, which is very similar. And I bought it years ago for its dividend yield. And outlook, you know, it's gone through a bit of a rough year as well for the same reasons and that. But outlook's starting to improve. You know? And from an international point of view, it's 4.5% to 5% dividend yield.
In the US.
Keep it in the US.
That's chunky. Mm. What about MMI?
It goes back to the same story. I mean, trying to sell investment products in a difficult market.
And also your float, your money that you're investing on behalf hasn't done anything.
Life companies are relatively simple. They comprise two things. They're a selling machine. Mm-hmm. That's what they do. And they need the stock market to run because 80, 90% of the income is based on asset values.
Yes.
Okay, so this is a tough market to sell anything in. And life insurance is intensely competitive. And we haven't had a bull market for 5 years.
So you want a bull market and you would like the cherry in the top
would
be a
consumer.
All these
shares, MMI included, actually look cheap if you in the back of your mind think is a bull market coming. Because bull market comes, these companies can double and triple their profits.
Yeah.
Once again, if you looked at that chart, it's just flatlining now. Not looking like going down. It hasn't shown signs of picking up. But I mean, it's still bottom forming.
And, you know, there's MMI, there's probably ability to take out a reasonable amount of costs. Mm-hmm. But that'll probably only offset the drop in profits in the underlying business because of competition, the economy, and the market.
Yeah, and insurance is something.
Simon, you need a market good market. We need a market.
You need a bull market and a good
economy.
Because
we need those products to move,
He said if you want to get into the insurers, they're bull market stocks, otherwise leave them alone. Mm. And also in the bull market, the consumer feels more confident, more positive,
but
more
look,
likely to.
I mean, maybe it's being overly optimistic, but you know, a bull market's overdue, eh? We owed a bull market.
We are owed a bull market.
It comes when you don't expect it.
No, totally.
Yeah, look, because I said that a year ago as well. We are owed a bull market. Mm. Quickly before we go to break, India, we have no local ETFs. We have no companies with exposure there.
India is it's a fragmented market. It's a very, very difficult market to get a grip on or to find any individual business. The best thing is to find out businesses that are dealing with India, you know, or selling products into India. And for the moment, I can't think of anything.
Because
it could be an Amazon,
Max,
it could be something
gone.
Like that.
But look, you know, whenever you look at things like India, understand it could be extremely rewarding, but these are risky ventures.
Yes.
So if you think India is good, which I think it is, You know, don't put 50% of your money in
small
it.
Small slice.
Put 3-5% of your cash into it. Then if it pays off, it's fantastic. If it doesn't pay off, you don't get destroyed.
Yeah, no, good point. And we don't have any local ETFs for India. But quick, time for a break. Keep sending through your questions. SMS 41392. Email stockwatch@bdtv.co.za. Right back after this. Welcome back. Let's take a quick look at how international markets are performing. Across in the US, it's green, modestly so. We'll take it. S&P up a quarter, NASDAQ up a fifth of a percent, and the Dow Jones a bit ahead at just over 0.5% to the upside. That, of course, while the US government remains in temporary shutdown. And then the FTSE closed at the lows of the day. It had been off a quarter of a percent. That obviously after Theresa May got thrashed in her Brexit vote. CAC 40 France up 0.5%. And DAX Frankfurt Germany up a third of a percent. What about Sasol? We've spoken about it before. Lake Charles is done pretty much. They're not going to spend any more money in a hurry. We'll start seeing some cash flow.
Yeah. Look, I think it's important to realize they are totally and utterly gun shy. They have been so burnt by Lake Charles. They just, you cannot believe the amount of money wasted on Lake Charles. But that's money gone. It's There's gone. No more CapEx. I did read a research report today that Lake Charles might be 6 months later than what they told the market, but that's just a research report, not validated at all. But even if it is late,
you know what?
The big plus on Lake Charles is not the output from Lake Charles, it's a lack of CapEx into Lake Charles. That's the big positive. They'll stop spending money on it.
Stop spending.
You might be explaining why the share was down 5% today.
No, that was a report. No, it was a report
that came
out.
It didn't make sense on the oil price, it didn't make sense on the Rand. And I couldn't get to the story why Sasol all of a sudden
fired. That's unconfirmed, eh? I mean, literally, last week, Sasol said, it's right kosher. Track. Everything's good.
Mm. But your point, the key point is they stop spending money.
Yeah. Even if Lake Charles doesn't make money, they just at least stop spending money.
It's 11 billion they've wasted, but that's money down the drain.
It's gone.
That's yesterday's money, not getting it back.
Not getting it back.
Yeah, not getting that back. What about the other paper stock, which is Mondi, which is, you know, where Sappi's, the glossies and
the same thing. Mondi
well packaging.
Business.
Yeah, it's nice business.
A lot depends on Europe. Europe not going into recession. I think demand will remain there. It's probably one of the better ones on our market that you can buy.
Look, you know, there's a part of investments called theme investing, where you buy shares based on a theme. And Mondi is going to benefit huge from this anti-straw, anti-plastic theme, because they don't do any of that. They've got paper-based product. And also they're going to benefit hugely from the continuing increase in online sales because it demands more packaging. You know, when you sell 3,000 toothbrushes in a supermarket store, that comes in one box. You just unpack it. When you sell 3,000 individual
and sometimes the internet, box is big enough for 3,000.
Yeah, you get each one goes in its own box. So the demand for packaging is going to increase substantially. And Mondi's ideal in both of these new themes. So over the longer term, it actually looks extremely good.
That's a nice theory. I've never heard of that one before. Yeah, and they're doing reading, right?
None again.
And sometimes you get a box, the product is this big, and the box is like it was the original box.
Well, Amazon, sure. Yeah.
So apparently Amazon packs according to space in the truck.
I must say one thing about coming back from Australia. They are extremely conscious of plastic.
Yes, it's huge.
You're
being polite now, aren't you?
You bring your own bags. Everybody brings their own bags. You don't go to a supermarket and ask for plastic.
Well,
you know, it's a swear word.
I mean,
and they're very conscious of where you deposit
your bins in the kitchen to recycle.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, FNB has got a branch in every little town in the whole country, and I won't mention the name of the extremely small rural town I went to. There, and one of my favorite little treats is I go to a Wimpy. There's a Wimpy, so I went to Wimpy. And the waiter in the Wimpy said, "Do you want a straw with your milkshake?"
Of course.
This is out in the middle of nowhere, and they're conscious of plastic straws. So this is the big thing.
So milkshakes and cocktails need straws. Don't have to ask.
You no, but not plastic straws.
Well, it can be
you
a paper
get
straw.
A cardboard straw.
And then you just got to drink it fast. Question on Steinhoff. Any point in buying ahead of results? No. These results are, what, a year and a half late?
You know what?
You're gambling.
Yeah.
Yeah, you better
I just
to the
think
casino.
The problems are going to mount and mount, as we see now, with this contesting of their restructuring of their debt. So I just say, you don't need to look for trouble.
And multiple class actions.
I think at this stage, where you're starting to see the market bottom and values are starting to show themselves. Don't look for trouble.
Yeah. I mean, in 10 years' time, if David and I are still alive and if we are still on this program, we'll still be discussing the Steinhoff scandal.
Sure. Yeah, as one of the corporate scandals of...
But it won't be resolved in 10 years' time.
It won't either.
it won't be resolved at all.
Look at Masterbond. I mean, that took 15 years or more to...
Look at Tygon. It's still going on.
Oh, yeah, he's still getting his day in court. Question coming through, Wayne. We've talked about trade wars a lot. It seems a bit off the back burner, but that might be because Trump's buying burgers for people and trying to get the government...
If you buy 200 burgers or 1,000...
He bought a lot of burgers. Yeah. I don't know.
Okay. Doesn't matter.
Trade wars with China, there's been some activity. It
seems to have gone quiet and on the positive side. Now, the problem is Donald Trump is unpredictable, you don't know what's coming next. But I think deep down inside, he knows that even though trade wars might hurt China more, they will still hurt the U.S.
Yes, he doesn't get away scot-free.
No politician wants that. Because you,
that could lose
you show, you cause the U.S. to go into a slowdown in growth or a recession. Doesn't matter who you are, you're dead.
Yeah.
You are just dead.
Well, I mean, Bush.
You're just dead.
That's what he lost him.
And if it can be clearly attributed to an action that you did, say, Donald Trump knows this. So you'll get lots of noise, lots of shouting, lots of tweets at midnight, and very typical. But I don't think when push comes to shove, I don't think you'll do it.
Yeah. So at the end of the day, we get a deal of a sort.
Yes.
What about Dr. Tech? So they sold,
Westcon, the US business.
Large
and they got paid good money.
No, they got good money for
it. Serious cash for
that. Paid a nice dividend out of it. Mm. Been buying back shares. I just don't know what's left.
They bought back their legally allowable full allocation.
Yeah, which is what, 10%?
I forget the number, but they announced it yesterday, the day before, that effectively they can't buy anymore.
So they're out, yeah.
This has been going on since 1987, and it's never really made its mark on the market.
Yeah. All my memory is that was the one that where they the Deutsche Bank man, and they got fined because they gave insider information or something.
No, they never actually got fined, but it was the first insider trading.
Yeah, that was 2000.
It's a long time ago.
Yeah. And it was a small thing. It's just the analyst said to
no, I wouldn't get too excited about this.
No. How were results been? He just shook his head and they went off and started selling.
And
that was it. Then .com went down and all went horribly pear-shaped. What about the banks? And we'll pause F&B to a side.
Yeah.
In particular, Absa wants to have to take profit on Absa. My sense is the banks are cheap.
No, they're cheap. No. I sit with it.
I think they make money regardless. The activity might slow down, growth might slow down.
These are 5% dividend yields.
Yeah, and single digit PE.
Serious capital. Yeah. I mean, First Rand might, because they got paid out for that Discovery, when they sold Discovery card, and no one's lending, no one's borrowing money, so their loan growth is single digit. Mm. Companies have got serious capital there.
Yeah, but they're well ahead of adequacy ratios.
Serious capital.
We've seen impairments floating around the 0.5, 0.6, 0.7.
They're broadly well run. You know, we haven't had any problems in banks, I mean, in the major banks, for a long time. And for that reason, in a market where you're not going to find value.
No, that's true.
No, they're cheap enough.
In 20 years,
you're going to have to look for yield. You know, it's a kind of market where you look for yield. Mm. I don't think you're going to get the kind of knockout growth that we look for in markets, but still.
Yeah, and as you said, well capitalized, everything, that they're looking good, they're looking strong. We need to go to stock picks before we do MediClinic. That was the ouch story of 2018.
I don't know. You wait every month or every quarter for some update and just hope that the problems they've got in the UAE and the problems they've got in Switzerland sort themselves out.
Look.
And locally, you know, the same
thing. And largely it's beyond management control.
Yeah. That doesn't look good then.
When you look at these medical companies, there's one very big positive. People are living significantly longer and require significantly more expenditure on medical. But unfortunately, the negative is actually bigger than that. Mm. Governments are cutting the cost of medical by legislation.
Yes.
And that's not stopping.
And that's not just NIH, that's worldwide.
Worldwide. That's what's happening in Switzerland with MediClinic.
Yeah. And it is. It's that regulatory thing because medical insurance has gone well ahead of normal insurance.
I went to go see an eye doctor today. my medical aid's going to pay me back about 45% of what I chipped out.
Because I go Tuesday. Okay, so I should
save up. You're not on Discovery Savings Account, would you?
That's just you paying yourself.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, be a Discovery shareholder. Let's go to some stock picks. Wayne, you mentioned it earlier. ShopRite.
It just looks cheap. I'm relatively positive about the South African economy. The consumer, despite all the news, is not actually in that bad condition.
No, they're not.
Debt's relatively low. You need a bit of job growth. You need a bit of improvement in sentiment. You need a bit of a bull market. The sink can run strongly. Yeah. So it's one of the lowest valuations in the last 10 years.
And we're unlikely to get a bad consumer budget. I don't know how Mbeweni's going to do it, but he can't hurt us in the election year.
No,
he petrol's coming down.
Oh, and you look at the retail sales numbers today for November. They were strong. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's Black Friday, and I know all of that. But we had Black Friday the year before as well. And they're actually looking, for the first time in a long time, some positive data about the SA consumer.
Okay, ShopRite from you. Nasdaq, David, you're going offshore.
I'll go off Nasdaq. Yeah, I just think that the markets overreacted on tech. I think they're writing off tech far too early. I still think that you're going to have knockout results. And we'll start to see them coming through next week. You know, even a share like Facebook, which has come under immense pressure on so many issues, I think is starting to look cheap. They still have the infrastructure. Their infrastructure stocks, Amazon's exposed to cloud. Anything that's exposed to cloud, I think, is going to do well. So I think Nasdaq's...
Apple's taken a tumble, but I mean, they print money. They've got, $250 billion dollars in cash.
I'm not great into cell phones or into smartphones. I think smartphone industry itself is going to come under pressure. But the others, Facebook's, the Amazon's, Google's, Alibaba's, Netflix. Netflix is okay, actually. But, a nice pest, et cetera, for 10 cents. I think they're still very, very good value. And I'm not ready to abandon them yet.
Netflix does a $2 average increase per American user. That nets them $110 million per month.
Yeah.
And all they've got to do is change some lines in the code. And no one's quitting their Netflix over
$2. No.
We need to leave it there. My thanks to our guests, David Shapiro from Sasfin Securities, going with Nasdaq. There is a Satrix ETF on that. Wayne McCurry from FNB Wealth and Investments, going with ShopRite. More of your stock related questions tomorrow. Until then, have a good evening. Let's go to some stock picks. Wayne, you mentioned it earlier. ShopRite.
It just looks cheap. I'm relatively positive about the South African economy. The consumer, despite all the news, is not actually in that bad condition.
No, they're not.
Debt's relatively low. You need a bit of job growth. You need a bit of improvement in sentiment. You need a bit of a bull market. The sink can run strongly. Yeah. So it's one of the lowest valuations in the last 10 years.
And we're unlikely to get a bad consumer budget. I don't know how Mbeweni's going to do it, but he can't hurt us in the election year.
No,
he
probably
petrol's coming
can't.
Down.
Oh, and you look at the retail sales numbers today for November. They were strong. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's Black Friday, and I know all of that. But we had Black Friday the year before as well. And they're actually looking, for the first time in a long time, some positive data about the SA consumer.
Okay. ShopRite from you. Nasdaq, David, you're going offshore.
I'll go off Nasdaq. Yeah, I just think that the markets overreacted on tech. I think they're writing off tech far too early. I still think that you're going to have knockout results. And we'll start to see them coming through next week. You know, even a share like Facebook, which has come under immense pressure on so many issues, I think is starting to look cheap. They still have the infrastructure. Their infrastructure stocks, Amazon's exposed to cloud. Anything that's exposed to cloud, I think, is going to do well. So I think Nasdaq's...
Apple's taken a tumble, but I mean, they print money. They've got, $250 billion dollars in cash.
I'm not great into cell phones or into smartphones. I think smartphone industry itself is going to come under pressure. But the others, Facebook's, the Amazon's, Google's, Alibaba's, Netflix. Netflix is okay, actually. But, a nice pest, et cetera, for 10 cents. I think they're still very, very good value. And I'm not ready to abandon them yet.
Netflix does a $2 average increase per American user. That nets them $110 million per month.
Yeah.
And all they've got to do is change some lines in the code. And no one's quitting their Netflix over
$2. No.
We need to leave it there. My thanks to our guests, David Shapiro from Sasfin Securities, going with Nasdaq. There is a Satrix ETF on that. Wayne McCurry from FNB Wealth and Investments, going with ShopRite. More of your stock related questions tomorrow. Until then, have a good evening.